This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
The Big Interview with Off Script.
It's been a while since we spoke to anyone who's a bit mad, and I can say this, and I mean this with great respect, but our next guest is absolutely bonkers.
Well, certainly, and we are a little bit late to the party with this one. You might have seen this on social media. You might even have heard about this on our show, The Agenda, a few days ago. But we had to get this from the horse's mouth himself, because seven Emirates, 630 kilometres, less than 6 days, an astonishing endurance feat. And delighted to be joined now on the line by the man who accomplished it, Mr. Evren Oscar. Evren, looking at the footage on social media, looking at the post on your own account as well, I mean, it's staggering what you achieved. And I guess before we get into the how, we need to analyse the why, because who in their right mind would decide to attempt this?
I ask myself that all the time, because a few years ago, I wouldn't have even imagined anything like this. I mean, just 2-3 years ago, I'd the furthest I'd ever ran in my life was like 5 kilometers. Like I literally, if you told me to run, that would have been out of the question. Like I literally hated running. I was overweight. I was smoking a lot. And I just had to go through some kind of transformation, because I had kids at that point, and I was, you know, trying to change my ways and like stop my habits. And I realized that I needed to change, but kind of realizing and changing are two different things. It's a little bit easier said than done. So that period of wanting to change but not being able to was kind of a really dark period for me, because I knew that I couldn't go on like this, because it was really getting out of control in my lifestyle. And business wise everything was great, everything was perfect, I was very successful, but kind of inside my own mind I was like, you know, living this, you know, it was kind of really dark moments. So I guess my kids becoming like of age, like they was kind of like 1 and 2 years old at the time. And then when I noticed that they started to, you know, take notice of me, and like, you know, kids don't say very much, but they see certain things. So when I started to notice that, I was like, no, I need to do this immediately. So when I decided to change, I had to obviously stop my habits, and I had to supplement it with something. And I knew that I had to get mentally strong. So I chose the one thing what I hate to do, which is running. So I kind of started off slow and tried to get into these races, and I eventually did. And it went from there, really.
So from start to finish, Evren, give us a little bit of the kind of long and short from you first having this idea that you want a change, getting on to whether it be the treadmill, getting onto the roads, from that point through to being ready to take on this arduous task. What are we talking about in terms of time span, and what are we talking about logistically as well?
So this was about 2.5 years ago when I decided I need change. And when I decided I needed to run, I said, right, okay, I'm gonna do this. I need to lose weight. I need to get mentally tough as well. Let's do this. So my goal was to run 5 kilometers, and I went out, I ran for about a kilometer, and I had to stop. I could not run. So I was looking for like races and things like that to kind of get me motivated, but this was during COVID time. So everything was canceled. There was like no marathons, no nothing, until I found this one race. I was in Turkey at the time and I couldn't travel. So I found this one race, which was called a 100-mile trail race. And I'd never heard of this. Like the only thing I knew about was like normal kind of road marathons. So when I saw this, I was like convinced that this was a joke. Like there's got to be some kind of trickery here. Like there's no way a human being can run 100 miles. That's 160 kilometers in a day. So I'm looking, I'm researching, and I'm realizing that this is an actual thing. And when I realized that, I was like, wow, this is another world here. And I kind of like, that was kind of the end of my running career at that point. I kind of gave up. There's no races here. I can't even run a kilometer. What am I going to do? And then a kind of light bulb moment happened where I was like, actually, what if I could go to this race and complete it? What kind of a transformation would that be? What kind of a story would that be? So I went to the race 4 weeks later, and I just put one foot in front of the other, and I was able to do it. Because in my mind, it was like, I have to change. Like there's no other way. I kind of didn't give myself an option. So that was the first race I ever did. Before I did a marathon, before I did a 10K, I did that 100-mile race.
Wow.
And yeah, so after that, it was just like, okay, what's the next thing? And I was just doing more and more races, just kind of trying to push myself, kind of challenge myself. That race I was out there for 27 hours, and that kind of opened the floodgates for me, which was like, oh my God, I've been living all this time. I had this potential inside of me. Like, what else can I do? So that kind of led on to this mentality of always looking for the next thing. And when I moved to Dubai and I saw this goal, that was like the ultimate, you know, it was very appealing, very challenging, but at the same time, very scary. So I was like, yeah, this looks hard. This looks impossible. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's incredible. We've spoken to the predecessor on our show, a guy called Sean Burgess, who also managed to accomplish this. I mean, just being able to finish it, let alone the time or the, you know, the distance is just off the, you know, it's beyond comprehension for anyone who finds 5K tough on a treadmill, which is myself and Chris included on that one. But you'd obviously done a lot of endurance work leading up to it. You just mentioned that, you know, you'd got into the races, you'd got into the long distance stuff. This is like a whole new ball game, isn't it? 143 hours was the time you managed to do it in, over 630 kilometers. So can we break down exactly how this played out? It started on the Saudi border. It ended in Fujairah. It encompassed the full seven Emirates, Evren. But I would imagine the mental challenge of staying the course was just really difficult to wrap your head around.
I mean, that's all what it is for me. I mean, people look at things like this as physical achievements or athletic achievements, but I just see it as a mental achievement for me, because yeah, I don't have any running, not a lot of running experience like previously. Like not a lot of athletic ability, no gifts really. It's just kind of mental for me, putting one foot in front of the other. So it started off, yeah, like you said, at the Saudi border, and that was on the 4th of March. And the goal was, so I started at 4 a.m. So I was trying to run for 20 hours until like around midnight time, just before, sleep for 4 hours and go again. That was the plan. So that lasted for about 2 days, and then ultimately like fatigue started to set in. So I ran 120 kilometers the first day, around the same for the second day. And then I started to get a little bit tired. So I was moving a lot slower by the third day. And then the plan just kind of like went out the window, and it was just moving as fast as I could for as long as I could, kind of stopping for a nap for half an hour, 45 minutes, and then carrying on. So at that point, the days and the mornings and the nights kind of like merged into one. There was no like kind of time scale or perception of time. It was just right, let's get through this next kilometer and see what happens. So yeah, by day three, the wheels have kind of fallen off. Day five, I went into Dubai and I saw my wife and my kids and a few close friends and family members. They were there, so that kind of gave me a little boost. That was a good moment. Carried on through, and then the last day was for Umm Al Quwain, Fujairah, and we dipped into Ras Al Khaimah on the last day as well. So yeah, that was kind of the home stretch, and that kept me going as well. So yeah, like I said, it's when you look at 630 kilometers, it's a lot to kind of digest, but you've got to kind of break it down and just think about, try and be in the moment and try and knock out the kilometer ahead of you.
I got to ask, because you know, I was going to say, then I've done some endurance stuff. I've run a marathon. That was a long time ago.
Good.
It was really good, but it took 4 hours. And when I think about that, that is just a drop in the ocean compared to the time that you were out there just pounding the pavement. 143 hours. Give me a semblance of what the body goes through physically in terms of just fatigue, in terms of wear and tear. I mean, imagine you're kind of just basically just one giant Band-Aid sort of 10, 15 hours into this, aren't you?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. But first off, when you start off, you feel pretty good. You're rested, you're tapered, you're ready to go. But then after, you know, the first day or the second day, after a few hours into it, it just becomes about problem solving, because you get feet issues, you get like, you know, muscle cramps, all these kind of things. So it's just about staying on top of them. So I guess the first problem that I had were my toes. So my legs felt pretty good going into the second and third day, but my toes just started to swell up. I lost a few toenails. And what I had was the toes were actually banging into the top of the shoe. So what we did actually was we just had to be proactive. And so I just cut a hole in the shoes where my toes were. So I was like running in these, they were really comfortable shoes actually, because I had no friction after that. So they kind of looked like a cross between a running shoe and a sandal. So it was kind of a funny situation. But yeah, you just got to do whatever it takes to keep going, really.
And I believe as well, Evan, forgive me if I'm wrong, but you did this run, you did this kind of seven Emirates run, for goodness sake, this world record attempt, during the rains and the thunderstorms. So how was that experience for you?
That was a combination of, like, we didn't know that it was going on. Like, because literally we come through to Dubai, and like I said, everyone was there. A few close friends and family members. And then one of my friends said to me, oh, what are you guys going to do about the storm? And I was like, what storm? I was like, oh, you haven't heard? And they showed me on their phone, and it was literally like all these red areas, you know, stay inside, do not leave your home, you know, only in emergency.
Don't run from Saudi to Fujairah.
Exactly. So at that point, we had about 160, 180 kilometers to go. So still a long way to go. And I was just thinking to myself, what am I going to do? Like this, because they were talking about hailstones, they were talking about lightning, thunder, road closures, this kind of thing. So it was like there was a period of that day where I was quite worried, and the team was quite worried as well. And then this went on for about 4 or 5 hours leading into the night. The storm was the next day. The storm was going to be on the Saturday. This was on the Friday. And then when the Saturday came, I just got my team together and I said, guys, they're telling us to be ready for the storm. The storm better be ready for us. No matter how bad this storm is, we're going for it. We're running for it. I wish this is the worst storm ever. It doesn't matter what happens, we're getting to Fujairah, guys. Let's do it.
Brilliant. And the video footage of you running through it, almost swimming through it, is incredible. Yeah. I mean, you know, flooded roads and just, it's going to slow you down, obviously. I guess in a weird way, yeah. did it serve as a distraction as well?
Yeah.
It did a little bit, because it was nice in the beginning, because obviously coming out of the heat of being on that E11 road, it was 3 days of like non-stop heat. So it was nice in the beginning to like be a little bit refreshed. The problem was there's a lot of elevation in Fujairah. There's a lot of hills. So I'm getting drenched. I can't stay warm because there's wind as well at the same time. And like, I can't stay dry. So usually if I'm like running, I can kind of regulate my body temperature somewhat and like stay a little bit warm. But because there were so many hills, I had to obviously hike a lot of the hills. So there was no way for me of staying warm. So yeah, that was a little bit challenging. I had to like change clothes 6 or 7 times just to kind of get through it. But yeah, I mean, there's a switch that you have to do in your head where it's just, I don't care how bad the circumstances are, I'm just going to get through it. And then when you make that switch in your head, then it's like it becomes you're embracing what's coming, as opposed to like trying to put it off.
Yeah.
As soon as you make that switch, you just do whatever's necessary to get the job done.
What about the kind of shape of the body in the hours and the days after, mentally as well? I'm sure you have a few battle scars, both physically and mentally. You know, we talk a lot about hallucinations and, you know, all of the things that the body and the mind goes through when you're pushing it to its kind of limit, if you will. Did you suffer anything, Evan?
There were some hallucinations in the night just because of sleep deprivation and things like that. So, you know, you see certain things where, you know, you think it's like a dog or you think it's like a car or something like that. So yeah, I did have those. And then afterwards, I mean, somebody asked me like, do you remember a lot? Do you see a lot of the scenery? And to be honest, I don't remember anything. I was just like trying to put one foot in front of the other and focusing on being in the moment. Luckily, we had like a film crew, so we documented the whole thing. So I'm sure when I look back, I'll kind of have some flashbacks of what went on. But in terms of recovery and stuff, it was just like, literally, I finished on the Sunday morning. And then the Monday morning, I had a flight to come to London.
Oof.
So I literally took the Sunday off for the rest of the day and then jumped on the flight to London. So yeah, just keep going, really. I've got a lot of work to do this week. So I had no choice but to carry on.
I know you're a busy boy, Evan. I know you've got meetings, etc., this afternoon over there in the UK, this evening over here. So I'm going to keep this one brief. I always love whenever we speak to athletes or individuals who have done incredible things. One of the questions, and it's a bit of an unfair question, but I always like to ask, you've now lived it, you've breathed it, you did it at 143 hours. When you look back on the experience, what do you think, truthfully, it could be done in terms of a time. You know, you talk about the fact your toes were rubbing, so you cut the tops of your trainers. That's maybe something that you would do from the start. Obviously, you weren't envisaging a thunderstorm, but when you look at what you put yourself through mentally and physically, seven Emirates, 630 kilometres, ballpark, what do you think it can be done in?
So, obviously, every time is different. Every condition is different. So, the time that I did it in, I think was the best time that I could do for that period.
Fair.
If I had a little bit more better conditions, under 5 days is possible. There was another bunch of issues that we kind of had to deal with. I think under 5 days is possible.
Are you going to have a pop at doing that, or is there another challenge that you're eyeing up, Evren?
The real answer is I need to give permission first for my wife.
Because, fair enough.
This is a huge time. This is a huge time commitment, man. And like to be off of work and away from the family for that long, it kind of like it takes a lot of you. This is the longest thing that I've done. I've done triathlons before, and those take like 2 to 3 days, like really long triathlons. This is the longest thing I've done. So we'll have to see if I've got enough time. And if I do, I probably won't do this one again, but I might do something similar. Maybe we'll start in Fujairah and end at the Saudi.
Yeah, I like it. Go the other way. Get the mountains. Get the mountains done in day one, and it's a bit more freewheeling come day five if you get to the Saudi border. Hey, listen, you've said there was a film crew filming you. For anyone that wants to know more about what you got up to, this particular challenge, I mean, what's the plan for releasing that footage?
So we're going to be posting bits and bobs over Instagram and social media. But the actual documentary film should be ready in a couple of weeks. So we're thinking like early April, something like that. So we'll be posting that on YouTube as well. So yeah, get ready for that.
Well, brilliant, Evren. Best of luck. Whatever comes next for you, I'm sure you'll tackle it in fine style. And listen, thanks so much for chatting to us on Off Script. When you are back out in Dubai, be great to catch up in person at some stage.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Amazing. I've got a stitch listening to that bloke. You know the crazy thing? When I listen to someone like Evren, who, you know, had a transformational moment, wanted to throw himself into something as crazy as it was, Rob, I look at someone like that and I
think you should be doing the same thing.
I mean, I am just, it boggles the mind.
It does. It's incredible. It really is. Yeah, massive congratulations
incredible.
To him, and looking forward to finding out what comes next.
The Off Script Podcast.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please do go ahead and click subscribe. You can also check out our other podcasts, Time Capsule or The Big Interview. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.